Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Claude Daily, your morning briefing on all things Claude and Anthropic. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Thursday, May the 14th, 2026. Good morning, good morning.
So we've got a focused show today. The headliner, and honestly, this one is meatier than it sounds at first, is Anthropic dropping detailed new documentation for enterprises on how to actually deploy Claude Code across an entire organization. We're talking a structured five-decision framework designed specifically for IT administrators.
And this is, look, I know documentation doesn't sound like the most riveting thing you're going to hear about this morning, but trust me, when you dig into what they're actually describing here, it tells you so much about where enterprise AI is heading and how Anthropic is positioning Claude Code as a serious, serious professional tool.
Absolutely. Plus, we're sweeping through the broader news landscape because there is a lot happening in the Anthropic and AI world right now. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right, the big story today comes straight from Anthropic's documentation for Claude Code. And for listeners who might be newer to what Claude Code actually is, this is Anthropic's AI-powered coding assistant. It lives in your terminal. It can read and write code, run shell commands, interact with your file system, execute tests. It's been a significant product for them. And up until recently, it's largely been an individual developer story. Someone discovers it, loves it, starts using it on their own.
Right. It's been very much a grassroots thing. Developer to developer. Word of mouth. People posting about it on Hacker News, you know, I can't believe what this thing just did.
Exactly. But now Anthropic has released what I'd call a seriously comprehensive administrative framework for deploying Claude Code at the organizational level. And the way they've structured it is genuinely interesting. They lay out five sequential decisions that an IT administrator or a company needs to work through when they're rolling this out.
Five sequential, like in order? You have to go through them in order?
That's right. And that word sequential is doing a lot of work because it implies that each decision shapes the next one. You can't skip to decision four without having resolved decision one.
Okay, walk me through them. What's first?
Decision one is choosing your API provider. And this is more nuanced than it sounds because with Claude Code, organizations don't have to go direct to Anthropic's API. They can route their usage through Amazon Web Services Bedrock or through Google Cloud's Vertex AI platform.
Oh, interesting. So you can access Claude Code through cloud platforms you might already be paying for.
Exactly. And think about why that matters for a large enterprise. If your company already has a major commercial agreement with AWS, if you're already running significant workloads on Bedrock, you might be able to run Claude Code through that same relationship. Same deal with Google Cloud and Vertex.
Which means consolidated billing, potentially. Your finance team isn't suddenly getting a new invoice from a company they've never heard of called Anthropic.
That's a great point, and it goes deeper than just billing. There are data residency questions. Some companies have legal requirements about where their data can physically be processed. If you're a European firm with strict data sovereignty requirements, the fact that you can route through an AWS region in Frankfurt or a Google Cloud region in Amsterdam is potentially the difference between being able to use this tool at all or not.
And that is not a small thing. I think people who aren't in enterprise IT sometimes don't appreciate just how often compliance requirements are a total deal breaker for tools like this. A developer might love Claude Code, be evangelizing it internally, and then the legal team looks at it and asks, "Where is our data going?" And that's the end of the conversation.
And Anthropic seems to have understood that dynamic deeply. By making the API provider the very first decision, the foundation everything else is built on, they're signaling that they get the enterprise buyer's priorities.
It's almost like, and I don't want to overread documentation, but it feels like they've had a lot of conversations with enterprise customers and heard repeatedly, our first question is always, where does the data go and who processes it?
Almost certainly. All right, decision two. Once you've chosen your API provider, you have to figure out how managed settings actually reach your developer devices. And this is the classic last-mile problem of enterprise software. You can design the most elegant policy system in the world, but if you can't get those policies onto the machines where developers are working, none of it matters.
So how does Claude Code handle that? How do managed settings get distributed?
So it supports several approaches. One is through mobile device management solutions, MDM. Things like Jamf for macOS environments, or Microsoft Intune, which a huge proportion of enterprise IT shops are already running.
Oh, so they're integrating with the MDM toolchain that IT teams already know and use.
Right, which is smart. The IT administrator who's going to be responsible for rolling out Claude Code probably already uses Jamf or Intune to push configurations to developer machines. Asking them to learn a completely new distribution system just for one AI tool is friction. By saying, "We work with what you already have," Anthropic removes that friction.
That's very pragmatic. It's not glamorous, but that is exactly the kind of thing that determines whether enterprise software actually gets deployed versus getting evaluated and then quietly shelved.
And there are also file-based approaches, system-level configuration files that can be placed in specific locations, environment variables. So even companies that don't have a full MDM deployment can manage settings just through different mechanisms.
Which extends who can actually use this. Not every engineering organization has a full enterprise MDM infrastructure. Smaller companies, growing startups, they might be managing things through config files and scripts, and they're not locked out.
Anthropic is covering both ends, the large enterprise with full MDM and the scrappier organization doing things more manually.
All right, decision three. I have a feeling this is where it gets really interesting.
Decision three is where it gets really interesting. This is defining enforcement policies for tools and commands. And this is the one that I think has the most significant implications for the actual day-to-day developer experience.
Because Claude Code runs commands, real shell commands on real systems.
Exactly. Claude Code can, with your permission, execute shell commands, interact with your file system, run tests, make API calls. In an individual developer's personal environment, that's fine. The developer has given Claude that permission, and they're making those judgment calls themselves. But in an enterprise context, you might have very specific reasons to constrain what Claude Code can do.
So what kind of constraints are we talking about? Give me some concrete examples.
Sure. Imagine you're a company with strict security policies around network access. You might want to say, Claude Code can run local commands, can interact with the code base, but it cannot make outbound network calls during a coding session. Or maybe you're a financial services firm and you have specific directories on developer machines that contain sensitive customer data. You want a hard guarantee that Claude Code has no access to those paths whatsoever.
Or imagine you're somewhere with government contracts. There are restricted systems, classified systems, and you just need a bright line between what the AI assistant can touch and what it absolutely cannot.
Yes, and this is where the word enforcement becomes important. We're not talking about defaults that a developer can override if they feel like it. These are administered policies. And the way Anthropic describes the architecture, managed settings operate at a higher level in the hierarchy than local settings.
Wait, so a developer can't just override the corporate policy on their own machine, even if they want to?
That's the design. The administrator's configuration sits at the top. Whatever a developer might configure locally has to operate within those bounds.
Okay, I want to sit with that for a second because I think there's a genuine tension here. Because developers, as a group, are not typically enthusiastic about restrictions on their tools. The whole appeal of something like Claude Code is that it's this powerful, almost autonomous assistant that can do things for you. And now you're putting a fence around it.
That's a real tension. And I think it's a tension Anthropic is consciously accepting by building this framework. They're choosing the enterprise buyer's need for control over the individual developer's preference for maximum autonomy. Those two things don't always align.
And I genuinely wonder how developers are going to feel about this at scale, because I've seen what happens when IT-administered policies conflict with what developers want. You get shadow IT, you get workarounds, you get people using a personal laptop on the side with their own Claude Code account.
And then you've arguably made things worse from a security standpoint, because now the work is happening on an unmanaged device with zero oversight.
Exactly. The irony is that really heavy-handed restrictions can push behavior into channels that are far less controllable. If the official enterprise version feels too constrained, developers route around it and you lose all visibility entirely.
It's the age-old problem. If you make the official path too restrictive, people find unofficial paths. And the unofficial paths are usually worse from every angle: security, compliance, auditability.
So Anthropic is threading a needle. They need to give enterprises enough control that IT and legal and compliance teams are comfortable deploying this. But if the controls are so heavy-handed that developers actively resent the enterprise version, they'll route around it.
Which is probably why the framework is built around sequential decisions rather than a maximum restriction template. It's not, here are all the constraints you should apply. It's, here's how to think about calibrating this for your specific organization. A company with senior, trusted engineers working on non-sensitive projects might configure very loose policies. A company in a regulated industry with strict data requirements might configure very tight ones. Same infrastructure, different outcomes.
The tool serves the organization's specific risk tolerance. That's actually a pretty sophisticated design philosophy.
All right, decision 4, establishing usage visibility. Which is the enterprise version of asking what is actually happening inside this system?
Logging and auditing.
Logging, auditing, yes. Being able to see at an organizational level how Claude Code is being used. Which teams are using it? How frequently? What kinds of tasks? Are there patterns that indicate great return on investment or potential policy violations?
And from a cost perspective, who is generating which spend? Because Claude API usage costs money. A large engineering organization using Claude Code heavily, that bill can become significant quickly.
Cost attribution is huge, and it's not a new problem. When cloud computing took off, companies had this exact same headache. Developers would spin up cloud resources and nobody knew whose cost center to charge. Anthropic is clearly trying to solve that proactively with Claude Code rather than letting it become a problem.
Because if an enterprise deploys this and then 6 months later, the finance team looks at the Anthropic invoice and it's enormous, and they can't attribute it to any team or project, that's a crisis. That could result in the whole thing getting shut down regardless of how much value developers are getting from it.
And visibility goes beyond cost. In certain industries, you need to demonstrate to auditors that your AI tools are being used within specific parameters. Here is our log of every Claude Code invocation. Here is the category of task. Here is the policy status at that time. That audit trail is what keeps a regulated company out of trouble.
But there's also a much more interesting use case here, which is, if you can actually see usage patterns across your whole engineering organization, you learn things. You learn what developers are actually using AI assistance for. Maybe it's overwhelmingly refactoring and writing tests. Maybe it's heavily weighted toward documentation. Maybe one team has figured out a workflow that's dramatically increasing their throughput, and you want to understand and replicate it.
That's a great point. The visibility layer isn't only defensive. It can be genuinely informative for how you understand and manage an AI-augmented engineering team.
And crucially, it's behavioral data, not self-reported data. People say one thing in surveys, they do another in practice. Actual usage logs don't lie.
Which could make this one of the most valuable datasets a large engineering organization has about how AI is actually changing the way their people work. Not theory, not projections, real behavior.
Okay, and what about the fifth decision? You said 5 sequential decisions and we've done 4.
So the fifth area, and the documentation pulls this together as the overarching piece, is how all of this forms a coherent policy hierarchy. Anthropic describes a layered system where managed settings, administrator-controlled configurations, take precedence over local settings that individual developers apply. But critically, it's not a binary admin controls everything. Administrators can choose which settings they want to enforce as hard rules and which settings they're happy to leave to developer discretion.
So an admin could say, lock down the API provider and the network access settings. Those are non-negotiable. But leave developers free to configure things like how verbose Claude's responses are, or their preferences around how code is formatted.
Exactly that. It's configurable what is enforced versus what is suggested versus what is left entirely open. And that flexibility is what separates an enterprise policy system that actually works from one that's theoretically complete but practically impossible to implement.
Because real IT administrators don't want to micromanage every preference. They want to control the security-relevant, compliance-relevant settings and then get out of the way.
And conflating those two categories, things that matter for security versus things that are just personal preference, is a classic mistake in enterprise software. You over-enforce on everything. Developers feel strangled. You under-enforce. You have no actual control. Getting that layering right is genuinely hard.
I want to step back and ask a bigger question, which is, what does the existence of this documentation tell us about where Claude Code is in its product lifecycle? Because this level of administrative infrastructure, MDM integration, policy hierarchies, audit trails, cost attribution, you don't build that for hobbyists.
You build that for CIOs, for chief information security officers, for the people who write the checks on enterprise software agreements.
Right. And it signals maturity. It signals that Anthropic is making a serious play for the enterprise market that goes beyond, we have a good model. Because a lot of companies have good models. The differentiators are ecosystem, integrations, trust, enterprise features.
And this documentation is part of building that story. The message is, you can trust Claude Code in your organization the same way you trust other enterprise software, because it has the same administrative controls.
The comparison I keep coming back to is GitHub Copilot. Because Copilot went through this exact evolution, started as an individual developer tool, then GitHub built out enterprise controls, policies, the ability for organizations to manage what data it could see, how it handled proprietary code, and that enterprise layer is what unlocked the massive corporate deployments.
And Anthropic is presumably looking at that trajectory and trying to accelerate it. They don't want to wait 2 or 3 years of organic individual adoption before building the enterprise layer. They're building it now, early, so the infrastructure is there when the demand scales.
Which also, can I get into the competitive dynamics for a second?
Please.
The AI coding assistant space is genuinely crowded right now. You've got Copilot from GitHub and Microsoft. You've got other strong competitors. You've got tools approaching from the autonomous coding angle. And when you're competing in that market, a strong enterprise story could be a real differentiator, because a lot of competitors are still primarily individual developer focused. If Anthropic can be the choice that enterprises feel most comfortable deploying at scale, that's meaningful.
And enterprise contracts are sticky. If a company deploys Claude Code, trains their IT team on it, integrates it with their MDM infrastructure, builds policies around it, they don't switch easily. That's switching costs. That's lock-in in the best sense of the word for Anthropic.
From a revenue perspective, a company spending, let's say, $50,000 a year on Claude Code is a fundamentally different customer than 10 individual developers each paying a couple hundred a month. It's not just more revenue, it's more predictable revenue, a deeper commercial relationship, and a much stronger base for expanding the account.
The other thing this raises, and I want to make sure we hit it, is the broader question of AI governance in organizations. Because what Anthropic is building here isn't just product policy. It's contributing to an emerging industry norm around how AI tools should be managed in enterprise settings.
What do you mean by that specifically?
Well, right now, a lot of companies are genuinely scrambling to figure out their AI policies. They've got employees using all sorts of AI tools, sometimes officially sanctioned, sometimes as shadow IT. And most of them don't have great frameworks for thinking about questions like, what data is our AI coding assistant allowed to see? Or what actions should it be permitted to take? Anthropic building out this explicit framework is, in a way, modeling what a thoughtful AI governance approach looks like.
So even companies that aren't deploying Claude Code could learn from the framework. The five decisions aren't specific to Claude Code. They're kind of universal questions you'd want to answer for any AI tool with real-world access.
Where does the data get processed? How do you distribute policy to end users? What can the AI do and not do? How do you monitor usage? Those questions apply everywhere.
That's a smart positioning play for Anthropic, being seen as a thought leader on enterprise AI governance, not just a model provider. It's the kind of thing that earns trust in boardrooms over time.
And it connects to their broader stated mission around AI safety. If you can demonstrate that AI tools can be deployed in controllable, auditable, policy-respecting ways, you're making the case that AI doesn't have to be a runaway force that organizations struggle to manage.
It's the safety argument in business language. Instead of AI safety, it's AI you can actually govern, which lands very differently in a meeting with a legal team or a compliance committee.
Exactly. All right, let's turn to the broader news landscape. So we had a substantial sweep through broader news today. There's a lot happening in the general tech press, the business press, the developer community, around Anthropic and Claude. A few themes are really jumping out.
Before we get into specifics, can I just note the overall volume of Anthropic news right now? Like, when I started following this space closely a couple of years ago, Anthropic was kind of the more quietly research-focused counterpart to the louder players. And now they're everywhere. Every day there's something meaningful.
It's a different company than it was 12 months ago in terms of its public footprint. A lot of that is driven by Claude Code, by Claude's performance, by enterprise partnerships, and by the sheer scale of what they've been building out.
And the investment. The fundraising they've done has made them a very different kind of player commercially.
So looking at today's news, one of the through lines is enterprise AI adoption. We're seeing more stories about large companies, not just startups, not just tech companies, actually deploying Claude-based workflows in production. And these are no longer just pilots and experiments. These are things that are becoming genuinely mission critical.
And that changes the stakes enormously. When it's a pilot, if it goes sideways, you've lost some time and budget. When it's mission critical, a failure has real downstream consequences for the business.
Which is exactly why the governance framework we just spent 20 minutes discussing matters so much. The enterprise trust layer has to be in place before you move from "we're testing this" to "our workflows depend on this."
Are there patterns in which industries are moving fastest on enterprise cloud adoption? Because I feel like there's been a shift in which sectors are taking this seriously.
Software development is obviously ground zero. That's the Claude Code story. But we're seeing genuine traction in legal. Law firms using Claude for document review, contract analysis, research synthesis. Financial services, specifically in regulatory compliance and investment research. And healthcare, but mostly on the administrative side, not the clinical side.
Healthcare is interesting because you'd expect adoption to be really slow given how intense the regulatory environment is. But I guess the administrative burden in healthcare is so enormous that the ROI case is compelling even with all the compliance overhead.
If you're a large hospital system and administrators are spending significant time processing prior authorizations or dealing with billing and coding, and AI can meaningfully reduce that burden, the economics are strong even if the implementation requires a lot of careful policy work.
And that's not patient-facing AI, right? That's not AI making diagnostic recommendations. That's AI doing paperwork. And the risk profile of AI helps process paperwork is so much more manageable than AI suggests a treatment.
For now, yes. The clinical AI story is a much longer road involving regulatory approval processes that are genuinely complex. But administrative AI in healthcare, I think that's moving faster than most people expect.
There's also been a lot of discussion in the developer community, specifically about Claude's performance on coding tasks. And the numbers coming out of various benchmarks are pretty striking.
Yeah, and for listeners who aren't deep in the AI benchmarking world, there's a benchmark called SWE Bench, which stands for Software Engineering Bench, and it tests models on real-world software engineering tasks, actual GitHub issues, actual code fixes, and Claude has been performing very well on it.
Which feeds the Claude code story. The better the underlying model is at actual software engineering tasks, not just writing syntactically correct code, but understanding code bases, identifying bugs, proposing fixes, the more valuable the coding assistant built on top of it becomes.
Although, and I want to raise this, there's a tendency to get very excited about benchmark numbers and then find the real-world experience more nuanced. Benchmarks are useful, but they're curated scenarios, not the full complexity of actual production code bases.
No, that's fair. The more meaningful test is what developers are actually experiencing. And the anecdotal evidence in developer communities seems to be genuinely positive for Claude Code. The posts I see are, people are surprised by what it can handle. Real tasks, real complexity.
Although anecdotal evidence has its own problems, people who love a tool talk about it. People who tried it and found it disappointing just quietly go back to something else. Selection bias is real.
So we're working with incomplete information, as always.
As always. Another thread I want to pull on, and this is something I've been seeing on Hacker News, in developer forums, on various corners of social media, is this ongoing debate about how much of your development work you should actually be offloading to AI assistants, and whether heavy reliance on these tools has implications for skill development.
Oh, the "is this making me a worse developer" debate. Yes, this one is getting really heated in some communities.
There are developers who feel strongly that relying heavily on AI coding assistants is atrophying certain kinds of thinking. You stop having to reason through certain classes of problems yourself because you just delegate them.
And there are others who say that is the exact same argument people made about calculators, or about integrated development environments with intelligent autocomplete, or about Stack Overflow. Every generation of tooling gets accused of making developers lazy or making them dependent.
And the counter-argument to that is that those tools are different in degree. A calculator handles arithmetic, so you can focus on the mathematical reasoning. An AI coding assistant might be handling so much of the actual reasoning that there's less left for you to do.
It's a gradient, right? If the AI is writing your boilerplate, that feels pretty clearly like a win. You are never really developing your abilities by writing boilerplate. But if the AI is doing the architectural reasoning, working out how components should interact, figuring out why something is failing, that's different.
And Claude Code is capable of operating at both ends. It can generate boilerplate all day, but given enough context, it can also make meaningful architectural suggestions and reason about system design. So the question of how much are you developing by using this really depends on how you use it.
Which requires a level of intentionality from the developer. you have to think about which parts of the work you want to do yourself for the sake of your own development versus which parts you're happy to delegate.
And I think there's a genuine equity question here that doesn't get enough attention. If you're a junior developer leaning heavily on AI assistance, are you building the foundational mental models that will make you a strong senior developer? Because a lot of senior-level engineering intuition, knowing when something smells wrong, anticipating how an architectural decision will cause you pain in 18 months, that comes from having struggled through a lot of hard problems.
And if the AI handles those struggles for you, do you develop the intuition? I genuinely don't know. I don't think anyone knows yet. We're running a real experiment in real time with a whole generation of developers.
Which is one reason I think the companies building these tools have a responsibility to think carefully about how they frame them, especially to developers who are early in their careers. The pitch of "it'll do your coding for you" can be seductive in a way that might not serve those developers' long-term interests.
And that's a somewhat awkward position for an AI company, right? Their commercial incentive is to sell you on maximum use. Telling you to use it judiciously is kind of against the short-term interest.
Unless you're playing a longer game, which, given everything we know about Anthropic's stated mission, I think they genuinely are.
Fair point.
On the competitive landscape, something worth noting is that the race in AI coding assistance isn't purely about model quality anymore. The model quality gap between the leading labs has narrowed. It hasn't disappeared, but it's narrowed. And the differentiators are increasingly things like ecosystem, integrations, trust infrastructure, enterprise features.
Which is why today's story about the Claude Code admin framework is actually more strategically significant than it might first appear. It's not a model capability story. It's an everything that surrounds the model story. And that surrounding ecosystem is increasingly where the competition is happening.
Anthropic also has what I think is a meaningful positioning advantage on the trust dimension specifically. Their stated approach to AI safety, the constitutional AI research they've published, the transparency they've shown around how Claude is trained to behave, that's a differentiated story for enterprise buyers who are concerned about unpredictable AI behavior.
Enterprise customers worry about that a lot. What happens if the model does something unexpected? And if one AI provider can say, "We have done significant research on understanding and controlling model behavior," and another one can't, that matters in a procurement conversation.
On the regulatory side, and there's quite a bit in today's news about this, the global regulatory environment for AI continues to evolve fast. The European Union's AI Act is getting into implementation mode. There are active policy conversations in multiple other jurisdictions, and different countries are taking genuinely different approaches.
For a company deploying globally, that patchwork is a real operational challenge. You can't build one product for one regulatory framework when the frameworks are this divergent.
Which, again, connects to why a configurable, flexible enterprise layer for Claude Code matters. If different jurisdictions have different requirements around data residency or audit logging or human oversight provisions, having a system that can be configured per deployment to meet those requirements is the only way to operate at global scale.
The regulatory complexity is almost driving the product architecture. Build for flexibility because there is no single standard emerging anytime soon.
There's also, and this is something I've been thinking about, the question of what happens to developer productivity metrics as AI coding tools become standard. Because all the historical data we have about engineering throughput, how many features per sprint, how long certain classes of bugs take to fix, what velocity looks like for a given team size, all of that was gathered in a world without AI coding assistance.
Right. A developer with Claude Code is a fundamentally different unit of production than a developer without it. The historical data isn't wrong, it's just no longer representative.
So if you're an engineering leader trying to plan headcount, or estimate a project timeline, or set reasonable expectations with stakeholders, your baseline assumptions may need to be revisited.
And nobody has enough data yet on what AI-augmented engineering looks like in practice, across different team types, different problem domains, different organizational contexts.
Which is one more argument for the usage visibility features in the Claude Code admin framework. If you're running this at scale, you start building up real organizational data about what AI-augmented development looks like for your specific teams. And that data becomes genuinely valuable for planning and management.
So the audit trail isn't just for compliance, it's intelligence. It's how you learn to manage a new kind of engineering organization.
That's a satisfying loop.
I love it when it comes together like that. Okay, I want to touch on the research side of Anthropic because I think it's easy to get focused on the product stories and miss what's happening on the research side.
Yeah, Anthropic has been prolific. And one area that continues to be significant, and that I think doesn't get enough mainstream attention, is their work on mechanistic interpretability.
Let me explain that for people who aren't deep in this. Mechanistic interpretability is the attempt to actually understand what's happening inside a neural network when it processes information. Not just what does the model output, but what is the model actually doing internally? Can we identify specific circuits or features inside the model that correspond to specific behaviors?
And the reason it matters practically, the reason it's not just an academic exercise, is that if you can understand the mechanism, you can have much more confidence about how the model will behave in novel situations. Right now, a lot of AI safety work is essentially empirical. You test the model in many situations and observe the behavior. But if you understand the underlying mechanism, you can in principle make stronger guarantees.
Which connects right back to the enterprise trust story. We don't just observe that Claude behaves well, we're working to actually understand why. That is a much stronger claim than it's been tested a lot.
And it's long horizon work. It won't produce results that ship in the next product update. It's research that might matter enormously in 5 or 10 years when models are significantly more capable and the stakes of misaligned behavior are higher.
And it's one of the things that genuinely differentiates Anthropic. Many labs claim safety as a value. Very few have committed to this specific kind of technical safety research at the same depth and scale.
The last thing I want to mention before we close out is the ecosystem story. Because Claude Code doesn't exist in isolation, there's a growing ecosystem of tools and integrations around it. And a big part of that is Anthropic's Model Context Protocol, which is a standard for how AI models interface with external data sources and tools.
Right, so through the Model Context Protocol, Claude Code isn't just interacting with your code base. It can interact with your issue tracker, your continuous integration and deployment pipeline, your documentation systems, your monitoring and observability tools, anything that has adopted the protocol.
The surface area of what Claude Code can see and act on keeps expanding as more tools implement the protocol. And from an enterprise perspective, that's exciting, but also, it means more things that need to be covered by your governance policies.
Which is why the policy framework we talked about today has to be designed for extensibility. You can't just enumerate every possible integration today and write policies for them. You need a framework that can handle integrations that don't exist yet.
And that's the challenge and the opportunity of building enterprise infrastructure in a space that's moving this fast. You're not solving today's problem. You're building something designed to handle problems you can't fully anticipate.
And the fact that Anthropic is thinking about that now, not waiting until the ecosystem is mature and then scrambling to retrofit governance, that's the right approach.
All right, let's bring it home. If someone is just tuning into this show for the first time and wants to understand where things stand with Anthropic in May 2026, what's the one-paragraph version?
The one-paragraph version is, Anthropic has built a model family that is genuinely competitive with the best in the world. They've turned those models into a product ecosystem. Claude for individuals, Claude for enterprise customers, Claude Code for developers. And right now, the action is in the enterprise layer. They're doing the sometimes unglamorous but absolutely necessary work of building administrative infrastructure, compliance stories, integration with existing enterprise tooling, all the things required to turn a great product into a great business at scale. And today's Claude Code organizational deployment framework is a piece of that. It's not a headline announcement, but it is load-bearing infrastructure.
Load-bearing infrastructure. I love that framing.
It's the stuff that keeps the building standing even though you never see it.
And if they get it right, if IT administrators can deploy Claude Code with confidence, if legal teams can sign off on the data governance story, if finance teams can attribute costs and justify the spend, then you're looking at a platform that could be deeply embedded in enterprise engineering organizations for years.
And that creates a compounding effect. The more organizations deploy it, the more real-world usage data informs the product, the better the product gets, the more organizations want to deploy it.
As always, it's early. As much as it feels like this has been going on forever, we're genuinely in the early innings of how AI is going to reshape professional work.
Early innings, and the teams are still warming up.
Well said. All right, that is going to do it for today's Claude Daily, May 14th, 2026. As always, there is a lot to follow.
Every day, there is a lot to follow. Today was a great example of how one documentation release can open up into a conversation about enterprise AI governance, developer autonomy, organizational learning, the economics of AI platforms, long-term safety research. It all connects.
every thread pulls on other threads. That's what makes this beat interesting to cover.
For our listeners, wherever you are and whatever you're building, thank you for spending your morning with us. It genuinely means a lot.
We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh sweep of everything happening in the Claude and Anthropic world. I'm Alex.
I'm Sam.
Have a great Thursday.
Take care, everyone.